Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 43, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist for August 6th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. the New Jersey Drive Sound Jacks, volume 1. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's Miles Gray on your wedding day. It's a freeze out when you've already paid.
And none of those things are ironic, as Chapman Rice, a.k.a. Goddess, points out. So, yeah, thank you for that one, Chapman. I'm just digging in the archives for old ones. And shout out to everybody for sending through the fire ones. We've got some good ones this week. But, yes, starting the week off strong.
Irony was already a word with a difficult definition.
Right.
That was overused and misused by people. And then she dropped a number one hit.
Right.
That just completely misused the phrase ironic.
I mean, 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife. Feels cruel.
And also just almost surrealistic.
Yeah.
That there are 10,000 spoons. Holy shit.
All I need is a knife.
Right.
All right. Well,
that's too many spoons to be logical. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and creator of the Never Seen It podcast and the hilarious live show, Boast Rattle, where people battle rap with compliments. He is Kyle Ayers.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up, man?
Good. I didn't know if I was supposed to chime in about the Alanis Morissette thing.
Go ahead. What do you got?
I feel like it would be like if someone made a song called Literally Now.
Right.
They were just talking about things that weren't literal. We're like, we all argue about the definition
like
of this anyways.
Right. Well, although that one's a little bit easier to define and like it's
right.
So abused and like
I know
like
that the dictionary changed the definition to means figuratively. It's in the dictionary, like Webster changed the definition
like,
to be figuratively.
It.
They're like, whatever.
Right.
You know, it's fluid. And you're like, all right, dictionary. You have too much power.
We've had a brief hiatus
yeah.
of the weekend. I've had a brief hiatus of a full week, and now we're back, and we are going to tell our listeners about the Kardashians, episode 1 of season 15. This is not normally something that we're going to be covering, but it is trending on Google, and I think actually the fight at the center of this episode represents something about our culture, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Apple and Facebook stepping up and taking Alex Jones off their platforms, as well as YouTube, which is more important.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about an article in the Sunday New York Times about how the age of mothers is sort of a symptom and a cause of the widening gap between the two Americas. We're going to talk about how Trump admitted that the Trump Tower meeting was to get dirt from the Russians. He just, again, another one of those moments where, like the SNL sketch, it's just like, so is that it? Is it over?
I'm good.
Oh, nothing matters anymore? We're going to talk about Trump's war of words with LeBron. But first up, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I went and I looked at it. Cause I'm more of a Yahoo guy, but I looked at my Yahoo. They call it your lapses. I don't know what they call it. that seemed right though. Your Cubans, because Mark Cuban. And the last thing I looked was Never Ending Story movie poster. No text.
Is there one?
There is.
Oh, cool.
You'd be surprised how many people have removed the text from movie posters for I cannot understand why.
Oh, but were you looking to purchase?
I use it for, you talked about the Never Seen It podcast, and I Photoshop people onto movie posters a lot, and I found a whole subset of the internet that is people who remove text from movie posters for no reason, and now I'm friends with them, and they help me out a lot, so I don't have to do it.
There is an overabundance of people with Photoshop skills in the world.
Oh, it's truly incredible.
Out there.
It's
and
fantastic.
They have gifted people.
Like when people made you Killmonger all the time with the problematic
dreadlocks.
That
was amazing.
Yeah.
Somebody made me look like I was rocking Killmonger.
It's so weird that there's a giant group of people all across the whole world that have a skill of being able to alter the truth at home. Like, we could just make up lies that people could believe all over the world.
Well, I feel like it's like one of those things, too, when you in the computer age of our youths, like when you have that kind of app in front of you, you start teaching yourself. And like, because I remember in the beginning, I was kind of getting into teaching myself how to do Photoshop and stuff, but I got more into doing like music stuff than photo stuff. But
I could put a good face on another face.
Oh, you good at that?
I'm good at matching up, like putting people on movie posters very specifically.
The last time I did that, I was putting my friend, like someone into a wedding photo that wasn't there. and it took me like 3 hours.
It would have been easier for them to just fly to the wedding.
Yeah, probably.
By the way, Miles was holding down the old guy thing with me out last week. So when he says with the computer age of our youths, that's just him. It's slow. It's a slow transition, but we will get back to me being the old guy.
I have to purge it out.
So. I asked Jeeves how to use Photoshop, and he let me know he's off now.
You don't use AltaVista? Whippersnapper?
Yeah, I looked it up on Encarta, and they let me know that Photoshop actually should be having a new version.
It wasn't
out
on the disc that I put in.
It's just shoved into the trackpad of my MacBook Air.
Like, what's wrong with this?
Did you Photoshop anyone's face onto one of the Luck Dragons, or do you not know what a Luck Dragon
is never
because
seen,
you've never seen it?
Never ending story, but I Photoshopped my face onto a woman with jewel on her forehead.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
Jewel Head.
Yeah.
Yes. the character Jewel Head.
Jewel Head.
The beloved character.
Which is a big fan of Jewel, actually. Someone who follows her on tour, right. And as well as in this movie. And then just... put other people's faces on. I don't know any of the characters.
Oh, okay.
In fact, when I saw the poster, I was overwhelmed. There was like rock guy, man on
rock
bird.
Guy, Jewel Head, Jewel Kilcher, the actual Jewel.
Yeah, I think Killmonger was in this one too.
Atreyu.
Atreyu, I knew just because that band.
The band. Right?
I was like, there's a band, and I thought the white dog, flying white dog, was Atreyu, but apparently I was wrong.
Those are the Luck Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And they are Cavalier King Charles. Heads with like caterpillar bodies,
like
kind
your
of.
Dog.
Yeah, caterpillar King Charles. Yeah,
yeah. What is something that is overrated?
I thought about this a lot, and I think Star Wars is vastly overrated.
Okay,
as especially in particular, the oldest original three movies are not very good.
Wow. This has come up before.
This comes up a lot, yeah.
And we asked that person to leave the studio, like we're going to ask you to. No.
First of all, what's wrong with you, bro?
Okay, well, let me scroll down my note.
No, I get it. I think it's one of those things I've had to wrestle with being a huge Star Wars fan, especially with the new trilogy has come out slowly. I've had to look back and be like, it's not that those movies were good. I just really liked that time in my life and like what those movies were at that time of my life. Yeah. But some people can't actually separate the two and they're like, no, actually, that is one of the greatest films that have ever been made.
If I watched all of the Star Wars movies at the same time, right before, what was the J.J. Abrams one? Force Awakens.
Force Awakens.
Right before the Force Awakens came out, I watched all of them. And then I watched The Force Awakens, and then I saw the one, The Last Jedi, and the Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I liked The Last Jedi, and then I would say like The Empire Strikes Back is pretty good, and then there's kind of a drop-off, and the rest of them are just fine.
I agree with that. I think that's right. Did you like Force Awakens?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I thought it was pretty
good. I watched it and the first one in the same week.
Yeah.
And they were kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
but I was like, well, it's still a good story.
Yeah.
One of the most... sort of existentially terrifying moments for me was when a few years ago I watched Teen Wolf again and I still loved it. And I was like, oh, so this means that my taste in movies was like purely imprinted by Teen Wolf. And like, I view all movies through a Teen Wolf shaped lens.
Wow.
Of like, well, this movie sucks. Like,
was that one where the guy's friend looked a little bit like Teen Wolf and he flew the Millennium Falcon around? Oh, Star Wars.
That's right.
I call that Teen Wolf on a plane.
Oh, yeah. My favorite Disney film, Beauty and the Teen Wolf, was also pretty good.
What was the one where it was just Wolf and he also played? Oh, Air Bud. That's right. Small Wolf basketball.
Yep.
That's my second favorite movie, Air Bud, and my first favorite is Air Bud.
Air Small Wolf.
Air Small Wolf, yeah.
I mean, would you say...
I think they're good.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely not worth the fucking toxic fandom that's out here acting like their existence is.
And maybe that's
on the
where this popped into my head. Maybe it's not even Star Wars' fault.
Yeah,
maybe it's just like it seems to exist purely because of the circumstances.
Yeah, really brought out the toxic fandom, and like it was interesting to see. But yeah, I think that's when I'm like, oh, come on now. Like, it is not that serious where you're out here being like, she fucking ruined it.
But
like,
then what about their t-shirts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's all right. I think they're all right. I don't know if it's the greatest film franchise. Every time another good Mission Impossible movie comes out, I'm like, well, this is climbing my ladder of all of these are very good.
Yeah.
And
Mission Impossible 2? Do you fuck with Mission Impossible 2?
I have. You know what's crazy is the only Mission Impossible I haven't seen is the first one.
Wow.
I think 2 is the worst one, but I still think it's pretty good. But the rest of them were like incredible.
Oh, man. Yeah, Mission Impossible, I think 1, I nearly broke my dad's laptop computer because I was pretending to be like a fucking IMF agent on it, because like there, it was so heavily branded with Apple laptops in the first one. I was like, like, fuck the space bar up, and he's like, get out.
Yeah.
And so I had to use an abacus for the rest of my life.
No hackers use Apple podcasts, or Apple, not podcasts.
Well, Jamie Loftus uses Apple, oh, that's and true. She's and hacking she the shit hacker. Out of Earth. So, yeah.
I've listened to some sports talk radio, Philadelphia sports talk radio, on my vacation.
Mm-hmm, as one does.
Because I had to drive from Philadelphia to the Jersey Shore. And I came to the conclusion that The Godfather is the Star Wars of, like, a generation older than us. Like, literally, there's, like, 20 Godfather references per hour on sports talk radio.
Right.
I feel like everything is just Godfather.
Well, at least it lines up with, like, macho culture, right, like the mob, whereas, like, you can't be like, whoa, that came out of nowhere, like, IG-88, and you're like, what the fuck?
That was always something I loved about The Sopranos. I've never seen The Godfather, any of them. But I love in The Sopranos that they wanted to live this. They'd seen Goodfellas and The Godfather exist in their world.
Right.
So they keep referencing it. And then they actually do, I don't know, spoiler for The Sopranos, they go to Italy. And they're like, this isn't. Right. We thought it would be like. Yeah. And all the guys in Italy are like, what are you freaking talking about?
Yeah.
That's FBI, not like The Godfather at all.
The FBI talks about that in a couple of books I read about how The Godfather totally changed how the mafia themselves actually behaved. Mm-hmm. Like, before, they were like small-time criminals who would just like stab each other in the back. Like, just like, you know, stereotypical criminals. And then, like, The Godfather came out and they started like talking about family. And,
yeah, like Omerta taking that seriously.
Yeah, Omerta, like, they just adopted the code of behavior from The Godfather.
That's how I've been. I've changed my stand-up since the movie Funny People came out. And now I live with Jonah Hill.
What is something you think is underrated?
I think this is a new thing for me. I think people hate on Drake too much.
Ooh.
I think Drake, one of the most famous people in the world, is still underrated.
Wow. Okay. What do you mean? So what do you mean he's underrated?
I think he gets a lot of crap because he has emotions.
Uh-huh.
And once again, this is all knee-jerk stuff. Drake has entered my life in maybe the past 4 months.
4 hours.
I just looked him up. Sorry, Drake and Josh. Nickelodeon show. I had to scroll down in my notes.
Right.
I think he seems like a nice... this thing happened where I would always be like, I don't like Drake.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd be like, oh, that's a good song. Who's that? Oh, that's Drake.
Oh,
that's a really good song. Who's that? Oh, so I kept being like, oh, that's a good song. That's a good song. He seems like a nice guy. He loves his hometown. He loves the NBA, which I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
He seems super cool. I don't like that guy. It's like, eventually I'd be like, I like this guy.
Right.
But everyone seems to hate on him, and I don't really know what he's done.
Nah, I think Drake's an easy target to make jokes about, or just, you know, talk shit about Drake, just because he's an easy target. But those same people are also going to be like, yeah, of course I got the new Drake album.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's just easier because he doesn't have the same persona as a lot of like other rappers before, like where they were all like, I came out of a very difficult circumstance and I'm about a very specific type of subculture, where he was like, I'm a child actor from Toronto.
Yeah, I don't think people seem to not elevate him to a level of an artist, but they more see him as like a churned pop singer or something like that. And I don't know, he seems to have a personality. Once again, so little information about Drake that I actually know.
Yeah, well, hey, look, it's more about how you've come around to
Drake.
But
I feel like, come on, let's give this guy, come on, let's just start giving him the benefit of the doubt like we do a lot of other artists.
Yeah, let's give him the benefit. I mean, he's fine, and even despite him being dismantled,
hopefully he can get a little bump
a rap
to his
battle.
Fan base from this.
Yeah, I think
so. If anyone
hasn't,
you should check him out. He has some stuff on Apple Music.
Yeah, and just spell that for it's D-R-A-K-E.
Yeah, I think there's a line above the K.
Right. Yeah, right. Perfect.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
This is what could not be a bigger shift, I guess, in my... We've been talking about some entertainment stuff, right? I worked at the Genius Bar for years and years, like 6 years, like a long time.
Nice.
And I think 99% of the time, when something is wrong with your computer or your phone, it is your fault. People think that there's planned obsolescence. People think that these things are supposed to break, so they buy new ones. That is incorrect. People don't know how to use them, or people have improper expectations for their technology.
So give me what's a very frequent thing where people are convinced?
My phone is slow,
right?
You want me to buy a new one. Oh, I bet you made these headphones to break, so I'd have to buy new headphones.
No. Oh, that's like what the kind of shit you're fielding at the Genius Bar?
Every day.
It's not like,
every day.
I don't know how to put this face on this
face. Well, straight up, 80% of them are like, you just see people's dicks on their phones, and that happened. Right. I saw dicks every day, and it is what it is.
And they're like, "Hey, look past that, bro."
Their phone is broken, and then once it comes on, their screensaver people is just a picture of their
dick.
Lots
of times, people have so much less shame about their naked photos themselves than. Right. And then some people, this is kind of a tangent. Some people, I think, it is their thing, like in some sort of like they want voyeurism at them. Right. So people would come in and be like, my phone's kind of slow. And then everything is naked photos on there. Right. So what does it for them is a stranger seeing their naked photos. I'm certain
about it. And
they
just like watch your face as
there
you
was,
look
I don't
at
know
it.
How much if I ever sign it. And anyways, I helped this one cop in New York all the time.
With this case.
And she was so attractive. And she would always come in and it would be me or one other genius helping her. And she was just a different naked. And she would watch me see them. And that's
of
what
her?
Did it for. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was incredible. It was like the whole act of it. She would be there and people would be like, oh, you know, the cop's here again to show you a naked picture. And I'd be like, oh, okay. And, you know, I go and she'd be like, oh, my headphone jack has some lint in it or something. I don't know. If, maybe that was like a metaphor and she was coming on to me. Right, she's right. Like, I need to get the lint out of my headphone jack. Yeah. And I'd be like, I got a brush. Yeah. And then you would look and her phone would just be a new photo of like a lot of effort put into it, but just naked photos are. And
it would be her lock screen?
Lock screen, then wallpaper. And people will be like, my phone's full. And you're like, yeah, it's just a million pictures of your dick.
Wow.
You'd be like, I don't want to delete them. And I don't know if you empty the trash is another metaphor. But,
right, right.
You've taken a picture of your dick every hour on the hour
it's incredible.
Since you've had this phone.
Wait, you're taking one right now. What the fuck is this? And then you
this
look
is
at
a live stream.
Oh,
this
sorry
a...
about these photos, man. I don't know. Does that look normal to you, bro? Yeah. I don't know. Regular dude to genius.
Well, see, and it depends. Like, the size of the dick affects the size of the photo, too. So small
right,
ones,
right.
You can take more pictures. That's right. Not true. I don't want people to actually believe that and be like, whatever. It was a megabyte, but
I just love also maybe the idea that the cop was really doing some deep digging and like maybe thought one or two of the people at the Genius Bar was a suspect and was like trying to gauge reactions. Like, yep, that's him. I knew it.
My phone's full of photos of fingerprints. Do you recognize these? I have a DNA test app. No, it was, I don't know how we got
that's amazing.
There, oh, so many.
Do you keep in touch with her?
We actually never touch in any, no, it's all about, proper expectations.
She's just moved on to another Genius Bar.
Yeah. I try not to think about it.
She has a Samsung Galaxy now.
All right. Let's get into a story that we must, unfortunately, address because it is trending on Google. So you guys are making us talk about this. The Kardashians had their season 15 premiere on
class
over
that
weekend.
Sentence up by saying premiere like that. And we're still talking about the Kardashians.
Do you have Adobe Premiere on there?
And so they were trying to stage some of the like light, fluffy conflict that forms basically the spine of the show. They were trying to organize a shoot for the family Christmas card. But for some reason, Kim got like really mad at Kourtney and accused her of not having a business she's passionate enough about, which is the ultimate Kardashian diss. And, you know, Chris, the mom, joined in. And when Kim said, Kourtney, you're annoying, she always sides with whoever has the biggest, you know, business of her family. She was like, Kourtney, you are annoying. It's amazing.
That's a funny thing for a parent to say to a child.
Yeah. Just to side with the other one. It's like, I get it.
Right.
You are annoying.
Actually, I think we have audio of this conflict. Let's listen.
Okay. Unless I do it at 7 in the morning.
Do it at 7 in the morning.
Who are you meeting with? Stop. Be nice.
Team, you're just, do it no tonight. One wants you in the shoots.
I don't care. Okay, no, no,
get
no.
Get out of here and go. Get the out of here and go. That's no one Kim. Wants you in the shoot. I'm planning it.
You guys
I'm planning
just
the
do
shoot.
Nice to
so
each other.
So we don't want you in the shoot.
They're talking about a family
I'm planning
Christmas
it.
Did
card.
I already say this so morning I didn't
go.
Care
then
to
good.
Do it?
Then don't be in it. Because you're so annoying. Perfect. Then shut the up.
No, but what? It's like I'm not
who
scheduling
it. You're so annoying.
Yes.
She is you so annoying. You are annoying, Kourtney.
Cool, Mom. Thanks.
So don't even act like you know what I'm talking about.
So that is a burn.
Wow. You don't like have a fucking business.
Yeah. It sounded like a sketch from a rap album, the way that the music dropped when it finished.
Right.
Props to whoever edits that all together. The pacing was really nice.
I miss those rap interludes. But I guess, you know, in that family, if you're not a revenue stream, you're not a child of mine. That's how they look at it.
So Courtney walks out of the room at that point, and Kim says that Courtney doesn't need to come to the photo shoot because Courtney is the least interesting to look at in the family. Which is a very...
Does that mean the least amount of plastic surgery?
Oh, no. I don't know.
But that's such a good burn for some reason. Yeah. It's so specific. It's not you're ugly or you're too pretty or...
Least interesting.
It's least interesting.
And
to look at.
Essentially, it's like she has the fewest social media followers or the smallest.
What's she got, like 3,000?
Right.
She verified?
Yeah, something like that. But Courtney, by the way, was trying to schedule the Christmas card shoot around the fact that she wanted to have dinner with her children at 4 o'clock.
Oh, that's why she was like, I have a heart out at 4.
Yeah, because I want to go have dinner with my children. And
what
Kim
a
was
selfish,
basically like,
selfish person. Yeah.
So Kim was essentially like, you are not serious enough about your brand. And I don't know. I think it's interesting because Kim is like sort of the avatar / fertility idol of our current moment, where like sponsorship and your brand and getting paid for branded content on Instagram is like one of the coolest careers you can have, and like selling out is no longer a bad thing. And in that respect, Courtney's representing things that used to matter, like being a mom who gets to be home with their kids. And Kim is like, it's totally foreign to her. It's like it's an alien concept that she would want to do that.
To spend time with her family. Versus like, why aren't you commodifying your fucking existence?
Right. And she eventually tries to cut her out of a branded version of Family Values, which is a Christmas card.
Capital F, capital
then...
V, Family Values.
Right, yeah. Exactly. That they can then, you know,
I'm still blown away
media.
With the let's lead in early August with the Christmas card conflict. Right. Get everyone with the relevant seasonal episode.
But well, that's how serious they are about their brand.
Wait, but does that mean that this was actually shot around last Christmas and now we're just seeing it now because it's been through post?
Or is this a 2018 Christmas card release?
Yeah, and they're so busy that they're like, okay, I know it's March, but we have to get our Christmas thing done.
But I do wonder both if people who are fans of the show would respect that and be like, yeah, that's how serious they are about their brand.
That's a pretty good photo, actually.
Super producer Anna Hosnier just
brought the photo up.
Wow, it looks like they fell right into the
gap. Is this the photo in question that was taken? Oh, man, they're doing the same dumb shit. Okay, wear blue jeans and a white shirt, but ripped because we're the Kardashians.
Look, if we're going to have some family that is the royal family of the United States, I'm all right with it being the Kardashians, honestly.
Descending from the OJ trial.
I think there's nothing more American than the OJ trial, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And the dad should be a Ford Bronco.
If the royal family... Right. I always wanted to get that. It's so fun. The OJ trial was so crazy that the biggest car company in the country discontinued a vehicle.
Right, because they're like, ooh.
Because one guy showed it ride smooth on a highway.
It just makes me so cynical when shit like this is trending. And I get that this is a phenomenon that people are so invested in. But I think also me being an only child, I look at like sibling conflict and I'm like, this seems like very unnecessary conflict.
Why don't they just kill all but one of them?
Yeah. Only one should survive.
Right.
Some reason I used to always hate the Kardashians. It was grounded in absolutely nothing except the internet. Now I'm like, they seem fine.
Right.
I'm like, Kim seems pretty smart, at least.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just like their values are just all over the place now that I'm like,
And then who edited this thing together? I'm like, so how scripted is this? Where did this come from? And
oh,
then I start thinking about stuff
for
them, you know. But I mean, also spend time with your kids seems nice.
But it does seem fully like she is going mask off and just basically like, these are my values. My values are all about branding. And, you know, you are not interesting to look at. So fuck off.
And then like shaming her with her lack of perceived business acumen. You don't even know what the fuck it's about.
Kim should write wrestling promos. Like, it's just such a specific cut down.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure she should. Because then after hearing Anna and Sophie talk about it, they're like, remember that one time and she fucking destroyed her with a voicemail, and I'm like,
incredible.
What the fuck?
Right, because she was mad that Chloe woke her up.
That's a dope finishing move. Like, I committed homicide via voicemail.
Right, like, if she was a professional wrestler, her finishing move would be having a recording of the voicemail where you contradicted what you're saying today. Right. And she would just play this. She'd be like, actually, 6 years ago, you thought this.
Right.
I guess
they immediately fall to the mat. 1, 2, 3.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And Alex Jones is having a bad day, Miles.
Gasp. Gasp. Oh, poor Alex Jones.
Must be why it was raining.
Yeah. No, so we talk about Alex Jones every now and then and just how awful of a person he is. I mean, he's a dangerous person. He deals in very dangerous conspiracy theories. I mean, obviously, like, he tried to say that the survivors of the Parkland shooting were paid actors, or that the Sandy Hook massacre was a hoax, and also was had a big role in spreading the Pizzagate theory, which led to, like, real world shit where people were showing up at places with guns and being like, I'm here to save these kids.
Yeah. One of the guys who had his 7-year-old child killed in Sandy Hook, we interviewed him back at Cracked, and he's just had his life completely destroyed by Alex Jones and his, like, followers.
Yeah, and I think finally, friend of the pod, Jared Holt, who works at Right Wing Watch, I first saw him tweet about how, like, Spotify wasn't taking down his show, his podcast on Spotify, because it clearly was violating, like, their hate speech terms and conditions on the platform. And there was, like, it seemed like a little bit of momentum was gaining, and I know Spotify purged one of his shows. Like, there's a couple other InfoWars shows up. But now, like, Apple and Facebook and YouTube have all have come out and said, sorry, we're banning you from the platform. Like, on iTunes, all of his podcasts are completely gone. YouTube has banned the Alex Jones channel, which has nearly, like, 2.5 million followers. And they've all basically kind of saying that, like, they are violating our terms and service, where we have policies against hate speech and harassment. And clearly his shows and the material that he discusses, you know, motivates people to either harass people or just kind of, that's just super divisive, or just peddling in really, you know, racist conspiracies or just other, you know, evil type of misinformation.
I know this thing happened when he was going through, like, child custody and trying to get, where he started to say he was a caricature, right?
Right, a cartoon, like a performance artist.
But there's something where if performance artists, what you elicit out of your fans, you're not allowed to rebuke their behavior. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if you see things where these people are going to harass these parents of children who killed them, like Sandy Hook or whatever, you're not allowed to disavow what your fans are doing that you say to do. Like, you can't distance yourself from that.
Right, right.
And
no.
So you got to put up with the fact that that's what you actually want.
No, yeah. And it's put him in a lot of legal and financial trouble too. Like, he's had to, you know, like, switch to more, like, other methods of creating revenue, because he isn't able to get the traditional advertisers he used to because of a lot of this stuff. Because, like, more and more people are sort of being aware, like, oh, wait, I always knew the name Alex Jones and just thought he was, like, some Rush Limbaugh sort of right-wing talking head. But you're like, oh, no, he's really, like, on some whole other shit.
Right.
And it's explicit. It's not, there's nothing implied about him.
No, yeah, exactly. It's people are paid actors.
Different calls for action for people, yeah.
Right. And so he has moved to selling what he calls nutraceuticals, which are just, you know, pills filled with sawdust that he claims will give you better erections or whatever.
Better erections or make you way smarter. Right. Or
he's shaped like if I tried to draw someone, and I'm like, I'm not that good at drawing, but he's like, it's got all the parts, but you're like, this is a proportions are weird. Well, there's a tracing.
There's an amazing photo where he's like, after he took his, like, a before and after shot of him taking his, like, caveman supplement or whatever, and it's basically the same photo with different lighting.
Oh, yeah, he's like a little bit redder.
Yeah,
one
you're
of
like, this functionally hasn't done anything.
The caveman pill just puts you in a cave where the lighting is worse.
Right, exactly. And you get rosacea. And that's about it. But yeah, I think this is, like, a thing that, you know, Facebook really should have been doing. Like, they dragged their feet a little bit, and I think they finally came around. But it seems like now with Apple and Google, they're really kind of looking at it, and they're like, this is bad for our platform to have this kind of stuff on there. And, you know, his followers will find many other ways to get his content, because clearly, like, the InfoWars app is still on, like, the Apple store and things like that. So if you're trying to get your InfoWar on, you can still do that. But, you know, places like Apple and Google, they're like, no, we don't want to host this kind of content.
It is important to cut off the head of convenience for casual people, where it's like the you know, there's the people who really, really want something, who really believe are going to find it no matter what. But just casually finding new people and starting to rope them into hate speech, if you can cut that off before you get to it, is important.
No, absolutely.
Right. He has a team of people, and, you know, a lot of hate groups have teams of people who are figuring out how to teams of lizard. I mean, you know, our listeners might not know, but yes, of course, they're lizards. And they know how to game the YouTube search engine and the YouTube suggestion engine, so that if you watch the Zapruder film, you know, or something that isn't necessarily a right-wing conspiracy video, it knows how to, like, get Alex Jones in your results so that it can try and hook a new person.
Well, and suggest it to you, so you just go in a downward spiral of, like, chauvinism and xenophobia, right, like, in 10 seconds,
it's
basically.
Just, it's so crazy and dangerous. You see all these things where people post screenshots of YouTube where they, like, if they look up Sandy Hook on YouTube, all of the research results for someone with an empty search is how it's fake, how it's
right,
like
right.
It's this is what's being given as fact because it's the easiest, most accessible information, and it's just, it's scary that it can come from legitimately anywhere.
Yeah, and I think YouTube has to be on the chopping block next, because when you consider the amount of videos that are there, which are, I mean, I remember just last week I was trying to look at some, like, just hear some Jordan Peterson talks, like, just to kind of, because there were, like, a lot of debates that they frame as, like, watch Jordan Peterson own hysterical woman or whatever, and it's like,
you're just trying to figure out how to win an argument with your girlfriend.
Right, right? Yeah, exactly. I'm like, come on, Jordan, help me out, dude. I hate doing dishes. How do I, like, flip it on
just
her?
Trying to own some libs if you guys have a good link.
But, no, and then, like, suddenly completely fucked my algorithm, and now every single video is, like, watch Gavin McGinnis show you what being a man's like, in it's off that
he
one
eats
thing.
A beard trimmer,
yeah, exactly.
Watch him poop it out like a man,
like a man, yeah. Western chauvinist, and yeah, like it's so easy. And the next thing you know, like, you're slowly getting inoculated with all this other terrible information. Yeah. And I think, yeah, YouTube also, they have to really kind of look at what their platform does too, because I mean, yeah, the amount of conspiracy theory
there's
stuff
some,
and
there's some it's something horrific about giving equal weight to facts and not facts and saying, you look up moon landing, everything is about how it's fake. It is not. It happened. It's a fact.
Well,
it's not. Okay. I met Buzz Aldrin.
Is there wind on the moon?
No, the flag wasn't waving either.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoops. All right. I got to call my dad.
So this thing happens where, and even like news outlets will be like, they're reaching out to people like, hey, we're looking for someone who thinks the earth is flat to come on to debate whether or not the earth is flat.
Right.
And you make, well, you can't give equal weight to this.
No, not at
you
all.
You can't keep saying, oh, there's two sides to this story. There isn't.
Yeah,
there's not two sides to stories, and giving it that gives it legitimacy for people who don't have the mental aptitude to critically think
especially
about
especially like anything
that's just your liberal slant, man.
Oh, because you believe in science, right? Doctors are lying, bro. That's why they're trying to fucking inject us with all that shit, and we're gonna, you know, I see the fucking Matrix, bro.
Look, I read it on Facebook. It's got a, you know, I saw a meme.
Yeah.
I have a meme.
So, speaking of sort of culture wars and there being different versions of reality for different Americans, it seems like Americans are increasingly living in two different countries, and based on like the amount of money they make and, you know, how they vote. And the New York Times ran an article over the weekend about how the age that mothers give birth is actually a huge dividing line that is actually likely to push those two versions of America further apart. It's already like, as a consequence of people moving to their various corners, you know, liberal people are more likely to live around liberal people, conservative people are more likely to live around conservative people now. And in addition to that, they're more and more likely, liberal women are more and more likely to have children later so that they can go to college. And conservative women are more and more likely to, you know, view the family and their role as a mother as extremely meaningful, and they're more likely to be pro-life, and therefore they're more likely to have children at a younger age. And that just makes it more difficult for them to go to college. And it also, you know, has something to do with that they're less able to afford colleges. And so, you know, they are less likely to have college as something that they're considering. So it's just a, it's basically encoding our current divisive politics into almost generational tribes, like that will like be passed down, because mothers who wait until they're out of college to have children are more likely to be able to make a middle class or greater income, and more likely to be able to send their children to like summer camps and, you know, private schools.
Summer camps. Oh, you mean immigrant detention facilities?
Different types of summer camp. Okay. I'm talking about, actually.
Okay.
You know, one of the big dividing points is the summer like backslide, where basically children who go to public schools are basically even until the summer, when children with more wealthy parents are you know, go to educational experiences, whereas children whose parents are like working, you know, around the clock and don't have the money to send them to like summer camps or to summer schools or whatever, you know, they, you know, backslide. And that's where you see the division. It's not when they're in school. It's actually during breaks that you see the division happen. But anyways, it's just another way that we are seeing this sort of divide growing larger and larger, that I don't know. I found it pretty interesting.
Well, yeah. And as like you're saying, people sort of go to their corners, or people who are more inclined to be around like in rural communities and in urban communities, the job growth is also like concentrated in those places too. So like when, you know, Trump talks about
in
how
rural communities,
well, so, you know, Trump talks about how good the economy is and things like that, but like, you know, the Associated Press put out this analysis basically of job growth in the country, and they're showing that like a bulk of a lot of the hiring of like the added jobs are occurring in counties that voted for Hillary Clinton, which are a lot of these urban centers.
Right.
And so 58% of the job gains were in Hillary-backed counties from 2016.
But what if that doesn't fit my narrative in my head?
Well, then, I mean, then just go to another website or start a blog where you write the information you need pass that off as objective truth to a person who's susceptible
to it. Yeah, it's a blog I have for going back in time to own libs called libtardist.com.
Oh, great.
Where you can go in a phone booth and go back in time.
Fantastic. But yeah, and then they found that also when it comes to like the counties that are losing jobs, 35.4% of Trump counties have shed jobs in the last year compared to just 19% of Clinton counties.
Wow.
So even for people who are like touting, oh yeah, the president's doing so well, even in the counties that won, they're actually experiencing contractions or less job growth than they are in like the actual urban centers. And it must be easier for those people to begin thinking, oh, well, you know, that's right, because we need the wall or these other things, because how do I explain this?
You can sort of either present it as overall there is growth and I'm attributing that to the man that I like,
right,
or the growth isn't helping me and that's because he hasn't been able to prevent this thing that I falsely created in my head is taking
the jobs. Anything, guys, just keep asking. It's the wages that we need, because clearly there are many places like in the cities where they have just so many job openings. But it's the fact that they're not good jobs and that they fucking pay properly, that people can like live off of it, which is the other thing. It's like it obscures really what the state of the economy or the state of, you know, the workforce.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, the unemployment numbers look really good. But the thing with rural communities shedding jobs was going on under Obama. But, you know, the big policy shifts under Trump have been, you know, boons for corporations who are typically housed in urban locations. They're not helping rural communities in any noticeable way. So what happened over the weekend? I tried to keep Trump news out of my brain as much as possible on my vacay. So can you explain to me what the latest is with the Trump Tower meeting?
Okay, so you've heard of Donald Trump?
Yes.
Okay, you've heard of... Just senior, thank you. And you've heard of D-Ju, Don Jr.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we know Don Ju and we know...
D-Ju.
Yeah. It's like from when they Homer said it. We can call him Ho-Ju.
I thought that was a content aggregator on Instagram.
No. And then so, you know, he's clearly, over the last week, we were talking about how he's so transparent in signaling his frustrations and how you can tie every single tweet back to a specific news story that he's just addressing. It's not just like, oh, he's saying stuff again.
And
it's like
most of the time it's like you can attribute it back to a news story that's been on this show within the last 25
minutes. 100
seconds. Yeah.
100%.
And Mueller, by the way, is paying attention to his Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, I think he definitely, he probably has the internet, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That'll help out with the whole investigation.
Right. So, there was an article in the Washington Post that sort of described how Trump is sort of increasingly going from angry to more worried about Don Jr.'s legal future since he, you know, up and done a conspiracy against America. And so they say from the article, they say, quote, Trump has confided to friends and advisors that he is worried about the Mueller probe and how it could destroy the lives of what he calls innocent and decent people, namely Donald Trump Jr., who is under scrutiny by Mueller for his role organizing a June 2016 meeting at Trump Tower with Russians promising dirt on Hillary. And then they go on, they said, He does not believe his son purposely broke the law, but is fearful nonetheless that Trump Jr. inadvertently may have wandered into legal jeopardy. That is very...
I like how the wording shifts there.
Yeah. That he did the... But
he
may have...
He didn't break the law, but maybe by the end of this long sentence, you'll think about something else.
Yeah. He done stumbled into a conspiracy.
Like his car freezes jumping over a ravine.
Yeah, like, oh, thank God.
Now get out. Don Jr. done got himself into a whole mess of trouble, and then the car lands on the other side.
But, great Dukes of Hazzard reference.
Yeah, both cars definitely have the rebel flag on them.
But yeah, you know, since the president is like the rapper Bone Crusher and thus never scared, he fired off this tweet just to prove how, you know, so relaxed he is. And so this is a tweet from, I think, yesterday from 5:30 in the morning. Fake news reporting a complete fabrication that I am concerned about the meeting my wonderful son Donald had in Trump Tower. This was a meeting to get information on an opponent. Totally legal and done all the time in politics. And it went nowhere. I did not know about it. Okay, so here's the thing. It almost seemed like he gives a shit about his son, which is the most striking thing.
If it was
to me.
Eric, he wouldn't have said my wonderful son.
Yeah, I think both sons.
He would have said my, I think, taller
yeah.
son.
I think other son. Yeah. So I guess he cares about him. But the whole thing of, you know, like this happens all the time and it's legit is total bullshit. I mean, yes, getting opposition research is, you know, huge part of running
right.
any
I remember
kind of
one president I heard actually broke into a hotel to do it.
Yeah.
Which
and it worked
like
out.
A good move. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so the oppo part, I think we all understand that you need that to sort of create negatives about or pull out negatives about your opponent. So then the voters will be like, oh, okay, maybe he doesn't. His voting record is this. Mm-hmm. But to accept any help from a foreign national or hostile foreign government, see, that is a crime. Right. And it's a completely different situation. And the whole thing of like, well, it went nowhere and blah, blah, blah is like, it's like, not that it's one for one, but it's like, well, I hired the hitman to kill my husband, but he didn't kill him.
Imagine if Lee Harvey Oswald hadn't killed him. He's like, I shot him, but he's not like dead.
Yeah. Right. Well, and I mean, not that it's a completely one for one like that, but you've engaged in the conspiracy to commit this crime. And, you know, they want to say like, well, it wasn't even good stuff. It's like a thing, isn't
that.
A real defense.
It's definitely shifted from... This has never happened. This didn't happen how you said it did. This happened but isn't a crime. This happened but maybe is a crime, and he got nothing. To now the next steps is this was a crime.
Yeah.
Like it's just slowly shifting.
Right, and you're running out, and it's the same thing with like his talking heads that have to go out. So like Rudy Giuliani had a terrible couple weeks, the last 2 weeks, where he was just going out and like literally breaking news or then walking it back in a way that he was confusing like people on Fox who were trying to like walk him through his logic.
It's incredible to watch Rudy Giuliani navigate any conversation that's not about 9/11.
Right. Yeah. Or the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's only his two strong points.
You know, I told W to throw that pitch out. It's okay. All right, Rudy.
So that's me. Yeah. And so when you saw yesterday on the Sunday shows, one of Trump's lawyers, Jay Sekulow, he went on to George Stephanopoulos' show. And even like, you know, this week was looking bad because there were also reports about like, yeah, Trump knew about Flynn being compromised and still asked Comey to ease back on the investigation, thus creating an obstruction of justice case. And even Jay Sekulow, I think he literally reached into his like bag of like rhetorical rebuttals and literally grabbed nothing and threw this just weird argument out. So this is his defense of the president's probable obstruction of justice.
Are you suggesting it wouldn't be a problem if the president pressured James Comey to let the Flynn investigation go after knowing that Michael Flynn was under criminal investigation?
Well, I want you to understand something. I mean, I know this sounds remarkable to a lot of people, but if there was investigations going on Martin Luther King Jr., and do you think if President Kennedy would have gone to J. Edgar Hoover and said, hey, stop that, that would have been an obstruction of justice claim? I mean, of course not. That would have been Article II authority. But none of that has happened here. There's been no shutting down of any investigations, no shutting down of any inquiries.
That was, I love the just complete silence on the other
That's
end
incredible.
When he asks that question.
That's incredible.
Like, I think he's hoping the person would be like,
well, you know,
no,
Lincoln was
I
a
guess.
Republican.
Yeah.
So he's on the penny.
Right.
It's, the arguments are getting thinner and thinner and worse and worse. And, yeah, this is just kind of, again, I don't even understand the logic there. Is that, like,
because
Martin Luther King was probably being harassed by the FBI because he was, like, doing some, because of his civil rights leadership, that they identified him as, like, a threat to stability in this country.
I think he meant today, though, if he had asked Kennedy today. to slow it down. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't. It's very. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense to me because that was a corrupt FBI that was persecuting an innocent person, and
right.
they're trying to portray our FBI as persecuting an innocent president and all of his innocent henchmen. Because innocent people have henchmen, and he, but it's just when you find yourself comparing Flint or
Michael
Flynn to Martin Luther King Jr., like that's the point where you're like, oh shit, no, like that,
yeah.
that's just that doesn't pass the anything test.
God,
yeah,
I think and it makes sense as the Manafort trial heats up. Because like the other reporting, it really is that like it's less anger now and it's a lot more fear.
That's from people president. Who are like talking to aides behind the
yeah.
scenes.
But again,
like,
who?
Scared.
Yeah,
but
we
Trump
are
also scared.
We're also living in the until something happens, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Part, like it's hard
look
to speculate.
At what has happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and just on the everybody else does this. A lot of people would have taken that meeting thing. Trump's defense there. We've talked about this before, but Al Gore,
right.
In preparing for a debate with George W. Bush, he was handed basically all of George W. Bush's preparation, like all of his
the whole
notes.
Coloring book.
It's like
yeah,
his study book.
His study book, like all the arguments, all the ideas he was going to use.
All the pop-ups.
It's the Highlights magazine.
Yeah. And he immediately turned it over to the FBI.
Right.
Probably partially because he thought he was just going to roll yeah. over Bush and like didn't think it was going to be a problem. But also, the thing that he was afraid of was probably, well, what if it's from the Russians or something?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, how are we to know who this
right,
is
like,
from?
Right, like, what's the source of information then, influencing an American presidential
right,
election?
Right, that's, we Should do
I be
not
skeptical?
Want to be involved in a vast conspiracy to throw this election.
And now he's an award-nominated filmmaker.
Right, and, but, Trump, in this case, knew that it was from Russia, and, at least we know that Donald Jr.,
There's some balls to the defense of, well, but it was lame information.
Right.
Yeah.
These idiots are lame.
It wasn't even good. It wasn't even like any Pizzagate
like
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, ah, these guys suck. But yeah, like a lot of people point out that like this isn't the first time Russians have tried to help a presidential candidate and they've all turned it down. Like I know they were saying in the 80s, like in 84, Moscow was like, they offered help to quote any candidate of either party as long as they were against Reagan. And people are like, no, dude. What?
Again, Reagan, who's definitely not touted by Republicans as the greatest president of all time.
Right.
Yeah.
They now.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and you were just mentioning Reagan, and I think it's there was an image going viral over the weekend of two elderly gentlemen at a Trump jazz session rally in Pennsylvania.
You know, the things all sitting presidents still have.
Right, right.
Yeah, numerous rallies for yeah. themselves.
Just talking about how cool they are, where they were wearing shirts that said, I'd rather be Russian than a Democrat, which is... yeah.
So that's a big swing.
That's a big swing.
From the 80s.
Yeah. And this ties into something we talked about a couple weeks ago, this idea that we are, because the internet and, digital media has completely, we live most of our lives online, geographical, borders are becoming less important. And
right.
now it's more ideological and they would rather be Russian than Democrats because Russians agree with them. On a lot of points,
I guess.
Which, for most decades of the previous century, most liberals were, many were being accused of being communist
right.
Russians.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that was a bad thing.
Which was bad at the time.
But,
Now
we're communist Russia, so okay.
Yeah. It's
like, I don't even know. What again,
Well, it's authoritarian Russia, and that's what they're on board with. You need that.
Look, if we could just take those pretty onion-shaped buildings they have.
I know.
I think those are nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Kremlin.
They are pretty cool.
Nice.
They look
cool
like they're made of
Kremlin.
Candy.
Yeah,
are they made of candy? I don't know.
Only one way to find out, Jack.
Ask a Russian journalist.
I'll be back in another couple weeks.
Go to Russia. Climb the Kremlin and lick that thing.
Go to Russia. Tell them you're there to report a story.
Yeah.
That would be great.
What is your business in Russia? I'm a podcaster for a liberal.
All right. So Trump went at LeBron James.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, because he was a black guy who had said something about him. And we know that's, you know, when you look at the criteria it takes for Donald Trump to come at you in a non-politics setting or even a politics setting, it's you should be a person of color who says something about him, as we've seen, like,
or
Jemele
even just
Hill.
Like kind of has any success.
Yeah, as long just, as long as yeah. But those are the people who really get something out of him. Like, you know, yeah. Other politicians be like, wait, hold on, what did LeBron say? So he was on, did an interview with Don Lemon on CNN to talk about his new school where he's, you know, creating a like massive opportunity for these kids in Akron of
just,
being like
just another divisive issue.
Yeah,
opening up schools open for school. At-risk youth.
Yeah, and being like, "Hi, we'll pay for your school. We'll right. get you a bike so you can get to school. If you don't have food at home, we'll have a pantry so you can eat at home."
And a thing you were talking about earlier, where you're talking about like underprivileged people and people not having opportunities and downtime of school. The school also is a longer school year and then offers up programs
yeah,
for
right.
the kids 100%. Outside of it.
And on top of it, if you graduate, then they will pay for you to go to college. Right. I mean, God, what a fucking asshole this
cuck.
LeBron.
It's just these polarizing cuck. Issues. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah. And so, well, again, that was all fine. But then it came to a moment where Don Lemon was talking about how divisive the current atmosphere is in politics right now in the country, and what LeBron's doing is a great thing. And they said, you know, Don's like, what would you say to the president if you were sitting across from him, you know, to talk to him? And LeBron was just very flatly was like, I would never be sitting across from him.
Uh-huh.
And Q angry racist grandpa on his quest.
Honestly,
to
that is giving
them.
A run for you're not interesting to look at as best specific because right. that's so specific.
Yeah,
not,
that's even more.
I would
like,
call him a bum, which no. he has done,
yeah,
which
exactly.
I loved. But I would never be across. Not I would turn down. It's so specific.
Like I would never
it's
be
incredible.
In that situation.
I would never be in a situation to be. Across
I would put
from
myself
him.
At risk.
Yeah.
Intellectually. So, yes, then he fires off this tweet. LeBron J. This is from Donald J. Trump. LeBron James was just interviewed by the dumbest man on television, Don Lemon. He made LeBron look smart, which isn't easy to do. I like Mike. Okay, so again, Donald Trump does his thing again where he tries to make people of color be, I guess, stupid people.
Right.
And painting the first Don Lemon, who is African American, as the dumbest man on television.
Uh-huh.
That's actually you, my man. And then going at saying LeBron looks smart, even though in the past Donald Trump was all about LeBron.
I love
his
LeBron.
Teats. Oh, I'm rooting
for
him.
He's so happy he moved to Miami.
Yeah, it's his year. It's his year. Go LeBron. But he had the audacity to basically be like, no, the president's disgusting and I don't want to be around him.
I'm excited for LeBron James to be worth more money than Donald Trump.
He already
very
is.
Soon. Like
he
definitely
is,
already is.
Yeah.
And it's so. What an incredible thing to take any time of your day doing as the president.
Right. Of a thing. And I love all the tweets that are saying, like, LeBron puts kids in school
and the
and
time
you
to
put
do
kids
it
in
is
cages.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Right.
3 days after the school opened. Now's the time. Dude, come at him in the finals.
Right.
Right, right.
There's all these times where a bunch of people be like, I hate you, but I agree with you.
Right.
But now it's like LeBron James' stock could not possibly be higher.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I like how because he said, I like Mike. So cue a very Michael Jordan response is just sort of like, I support LJ. He's doing an amazing job for his community.
That was
end quote.
Michael Jordan said that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he meant Larry Johnson. He supported him for being in Space Jam. Yeah,
right.
I support Grandmama Larry Johnson and all of his efforts for the Charlotte basketball
also,
team.
Also, one disclaimer, right. The React juice in those Converse sneakers aren't actual juice.
Right.
But yeah, I guess the whole, that's also such an MJ thing too. He couldn't have given a more,
you know,
he doesn't give a fuck. He's an asshole.
Yeah, Republicans buy sneakers too. Famous quote
from Michael Jordan. Yeah.
Plus, kids in cages make great shoes.
Yeah,
exactly.
So
little tiny
out.
Hands to get those laces. I'm wearing Nikes right now, and yeah. I'm like, oh, that hypocritical Michael
that
Jordan.
I
like,
am wearing Jordans
yeah,
right
I bought
now,
Jordans
so.
I bought in Chinatown in New York. Like,
yeah, the money thing is something that I hadn't thought about for a while, but the fact that, like, the myth he's most worried about people finding out about him is that he's not as rich as he says he is. So I do wonder, like, do we think all of this is just a distraction so that people will stop asking for his tax returns? Like his whole presidency?
That kind of seemed to prompt the entire
snowball. I mean,
shit,
if the Democrats win the
right.
midterms,
right.
might be seeing those tax returns real quick.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing, it's funny too, now that you say that, is that there is a lot that I think that resonates with a lot of Americans that do vote for Donald Trump and a lot of Americans in general. And I talked about this last week of just sort of this idea that a lot of people also spend money to simply fight off the appearance of not of being poor.
Right.
Like, and that's a lot of the situation when you look at how there's just a virtually no middle class or whatever, and people don't earn enough on a spectrum for the time that they put into their jobs. Like Donald Trump, he's lying about what he's got, and it also appeals to people who are, might be in denial that their situation is actually a lot worse than it is, and they're like, yeah, maybe they feel that.
Probably not like the most politically productive line of attack, but it is the one that would hurt him the most.
Yeah, I've never seen more people with no business talking about it telling me why bankruptcy is a good move. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? We're all at Wendy's right now. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
People say, well, actually, be smart to go bankrupt. It's smart. There's a freaking casino going bankrupt.
Right? You just asked to dip your fries into my milkshake.
Yeah. Look, we're all in this Uber pool right now. I don't need to be learning this from the driver.
One pool, one love. And then also Melania even got messy too, because she just came out of nowhere without being asked for comment. She wasn't at an appearance anywhere. She just had her spokesperson put out a quote that was it looks like LeBron James is working to do good things on behalf of our next generation. And just as she always has, the First Lady encourages everyone to have an open dialogue about issues facing children today.
I'm sorry, this is the biggest, I hate so much that people call people disagreeing about facts open dialogue.
Right.
You can't, when something's objectively true or false, you can't have an open dialogue with both sides.
Freedom of speech,
right,
bro.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Well, just think about how I feel, though. Okay. What about
right,
my
but
feelings?
I feel like I don't want to know what the truth is.
No, but the truth scares me.
I think
so.
we skim past the fact that if Donald Trump's tax returns come out, it's going to be funny watching him try and remember his TurboTax password. He was like the only billionaire who probably had to file online, and he's like, what's the free version? Do I have audit protection?
What is it, 30 bucks more? Forget it.
I don't have that.
Forget it.
I don't have that.
What do I look like, a rich guy?
Yeah.
Well, Kyle, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
It's been great being here.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, where can people find you, follow you, enjoy you?
I just moved to Glassell Park.
Okay.
I don't really know where that is, but it's a neighborhood.
Okay.
And it's kind of Kyle Ayers across on everything.
Okay.
Wow. So you can just consistency.
And is there a tweet that you have been
enjoying?
I think
I wrote down two tweets. Can I do two?
Yes.
One's
please.
Funny, and then one was funny and also me. So this one is comedian Micah Brucey, who lives in New York, tweeted, I know the healthcare system in America is broken because every doctor I've been to has said it's impossible to make my face look exactly like the V for Vendetta mask. That made me laugh a lot. And then this one's from Allison Livey, who's a very funny comedian. And she said, the writing process. I like this idea. Okay, yes, this is working. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. Wait, this is good. I hate this. Guess I have to send it in. You know what? That was actually great. And that's how I feel. That kind of got the... procrastinate everything and then reflect on it, and it was okay.
Just destroy yourself in your own head.
But I like any joke about Guy Fawkes masks, and anyone who that's everything about that makes me happy.
Yeah,
so you're big. Oh, you love Guy Fawkes memes?
I do. I think a big problem with a lot of the generation I put myself in is people take Fight Club and V for Vendetta as scribe and real.
Mm-hmm. I 100% understand that.
Yeah.
Miles, how about you, man?
Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And oddly enough, the tweet I like is going off of what you just said about people's obsession with V for Vendetta and Fight Club. This is from my friend Mark Potts, who works at the LA Times. He put, so this is what America looks like living with the generation of men who misunderstood Fight Club.
You know? That's great.
It's so true.
Yeah. Oh, shit. And where can people find you?
I already said that.
Oh. Where am I right now?
Rule one, don't tell people.
Where can I find you? Yeah. It's only a 3-hour time difference, my man. So now you say your name and your social handle.
Okay. My name's Jack O'Brien. You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. Tweet I've been enjoying. I actually stayed off Twitter for the past week.
Good for you.
I thought you looked younger.
Yeah.
Andrew Lawrence tweeted on the 30th, which is when I stopped paying attention to Twitter, late 2019. Hey, gang. Bob Mueller here. And now that I'm done with Russia, I can finally investigate real collusion. I'm, of course, talking about the collusion between style and performance found in the Chevy Silverado. Life is a Highway plays over montage of truck doing truck stuff. That's at Andrew_Lawrence. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com. And we will now be posting our footnotes. In the episode descriptions or the info. When you click on the episode, it'll expand and you'll be able to find our footnotes right there, no longer on our website.
will you have to hunt around for them. Our footnotes are where we link off to information we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what is that going to be?
Today, I love Sade, and I heard a cover of Sweetest Taboo by this group called Rebels. And it's got this, like, soca vibe. I might be confusing my genres here, but it is definitely a nice rework of Sweetest Taboo by Rebels. Or Rebles? I don't know. You know, I don't know how they pronounce it. This is what happens when music just, you know, appears before me. But this is a great rework of Sweetest Taboo.
All right. And we're going to ride out on that. But before we go, you guys, go check out our merch on the, I don't know where to find it, though.
tpublic.com/thedailyzeitgeist, Jack.
Of course.
It's like we're doing an ad.
Yeah. Hey, go check it out. tpublic.com/thedailyzeitgeist. How can you forget that?
Get merch. Keep the lights on in here.
All right. We're going to ride out on that song. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.
If I tell you